Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Over the past couple months, I've had an occasion to be in prayer services where testimonies were given about their temptations, where people ask for prayers to help them because every time they wanted to do right, they ended up doing wrong. And they said, we need help with that. And I was impressed with a couple of scriptures when I heard those testimonies. Several came from ladies here. One came from a member of our ministry. One came from one of our young brothers. And so it's not just a certain group of people, but it's young, middle-aged, and even old guys like me that have problems. The devil is always at work. He's always out there trying to stir up trouble and get your attention, and we have to fight that constantly. I'm going to use a scripture to start out with this morning that is a common one. You'll recognize it. Some people have trouble with this scripture because of the way it's written. It's in Romans, and it's the 7th chapter, and I'm going to read verses 18 through 25. Pardon me. This is Paul. Actually, this scripture, the content starts back in verse 9, where he describes how he was led astray, in his words, when he was faithful to the laws and the commandments of the Jewish nation. And he thought he knew what God wanted and that he was doing right when he persecuted the early Christians. But as we know, Jesus changed his mind. But then after that, the devil continued to pester him, and he tells about the dilemma. So starting in verse 18, it says, "For I know that in me dwelleth no good thing, for to wit is persistent with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Now that's a little confusing, but what he's saying is that he's having trouble finding the right things to do because it seems like every time he tries, there's always something that's wrong. We're like that. "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." Now, that's kind of double talk, but it's true, isn't it? Every time you think you're on the right track and you're doing something good, you foul up. Or a stumbling block comes in your way, or the devil routs you another direction. It's a common thing, and it afflicts us all. "Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." And we know that the Lord said that we are carnal men. We have sin with us all the time, and we have to constantly fight against that. "I find that a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Boy, isn't that true. "For I delight in the law of God." And we, likewise, we delight in the law of God. "After the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." He's talking about the lust of the flesh there. Oh, and how true that is. "O wretched man that I am, Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now we say, well, that's Paul, you know, and we know who he was, a chosen of God's, a man who had God on his side to help him at all times. But you know, there's another scripture in the Book of Mormon that's almost like that. And let's go to 2 Nephi, chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 42 through 49 on page 93. This is 2 Nephi. This is Nephi speaking. Now, you think of Nephi as a 100% solid servant of God who never did anything wrong. Well, it turns out Nephi had problems too, apparently. He doesn't go into detail and tell us what all of them were. But he puts it a little like Paul, but in a little different language. Starting with verse 42. Oh then, if I have seen so great things, if the Lord in his condescension unto the children of men hath visited me in so much mercy, why should any heart weep, and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow, and my flesh waste away, and any strength slacken because of mine afflictions? And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? See, Nephi had a problem. You're not alone. Yes, why should I give way to the temptations that the evil one hath placed in my heart, to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? Why am I angry because of mine enemy? And isn't that the way it goes? You do something and then you're mad at yourself because of what you did, because you gave in or were misled. Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger again because of mine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. So you see, when Nephi speaks of his afflictions, he's talking about sin. He's talking about temptation. He's talking about what the devil placed in his path. It wasn't just these two brothers that he had troubles with. Let's read the solution that Nephi proposes. It's also in 2 Nephi, third chapter, and it begins at verse 50 where I left off and goes through 66. He says, rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in thee, my God, and the rock of my salvation. That's what we should do when we're faced with temptation. Call on the Lord. Tell him you'll follow him. Help me. He'll be there to do that. That's what we should do. O Lord, wilt thou redeem my soul? Wilt thou deliver me out of the hands of mine enemies? Wilt thou make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin? May the gates of hell be shut continually before me, because that my heart is broken and my spirit is contrite. O Lord, wilt thou not shut the gates of the righteous before me, that I may walk in the path of the low valley, that I may be strict in the plain road? O Lord, wilt thou encircle me around in the robe of thy righteousness? When you're in trouble, no matter where you are, call upon the Lord. He'll help you. I can testify that. I've had his help just this week. And I appreciate it. I'm here today because of him and his blessings. There is an opposite, of course, to what Nephi proposes here as a solution, and it's in 2 Nephi chapter 12. And I'm going to read verses 9 through 12. See if this doesn't fit our day today. See if you don't recognize this, maybe, even in your own life. And you should reject it. Starting with verse 9 on page 153. Yea, and there shall be many which shall say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and it shall be well with us. We've heard this read before, but we've also seen it in the world. It's preached all over. And there shall also be many which shall say, eat, drink, and be merry nevertheless. Fear God, he will justify in committing a little sin. Yea, lie a little, take the advantage of one because of his words. Dig a pit for thy neighbor. There is no harm in this. Oh, yes, there is. Lots of harm. But you will hear this. And do all these things, for tomorrow we die, and if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes, and at last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. 100% salvation for everybody. That's what you hear preached today. Not so. Yea, and there shall be many which shall teach after this manner, false and vain and foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works shall be in the dark, and the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. You don't want to be a part of all of that, but it's easy. We have the pressures of the world. We have peer pressures at work. We have those friends that we think are friends. But you have to be careful, and you have to be selective. You'll find that the true and only safe way is right here with the family of Christ. Let's go to 2 Nephi, chapter 6. I've labeled this little scripture, Pitfalls of Temptation. It's page 109. It's 2 Nephi chapter 6. I'm going to start with verse 56 and read down here a ways. And they are restored to the God who gave them breath, which is the Holy One of Israel. But woe unto him that hath the law given, yea, that hath all the commandments of God like unto us, and that transgresseth them, that wasteth the days of his probation, for awful is his state. Pardon me. Oh, that cunning plan of the evil one. Oh, the variness and frailties and foolishness of men. When they are learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not unto the counsel of God, for they set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. And you know, that's probably the biggest trap of all. We want to go it alone. We think we're strong enough. We think we know how. We think we've got all the answers. It's common to man. It's just common to everybody. But it can get you in trouble. So you ask the Lord first, is this okay? Should I be doing this? Show me how to do it, and he'll be there. Starting with verse 60. Wherefore, their wisdom is foolish and profiteth them nothing. Wherefore, they shall perish. But to be learned is good. And that's something we need to recognize. We need to be learned. We need to know what makes things go in our life. But be real careful what you trust. If it so be that they hearken under the counsels of God. So consult him in everything that you do. Let's go back to the Bible and let's look at 2 Peter. Second Peter, second chapter, and I'm going to read just verse 9. It says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Short scripture, but one that's very deep. So that if you want to know how to get out of some problem or what to do with a temptation, consult God. Because he'll have the answer for you. And he has ways of doing things directly himself or through his son, Jesus Christ. And don't belittle the fact that there are angels out there to help you. That's one of their jobs. Use them. Call for them. I know in this day and age, a lot of people don't believe in that sort of thing. I do. And you should also. Consult God, for he has the answers. And let's see, I think I can probably wrap this up pretty quick. Let's go to 1 Timothy, 4th chapter, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. This is one of the so-called pastoral books in the Bible. And a lot of what's written in these are commandments and instruction for the ministry, as well as the people. But they apply to everybody. Starting in chapter 4, 1 Timothy, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Is that today or not? The Antichrist is here. We know who it is. It's active not only in the world, but in our country. What's the most distressing is it's in our political system now, and members of that are actually leaders in Washington. The Antichrist. I am distressed all the time with the recent news and the debates and the things that are going on. It's about us everywhere. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Number three, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be refused with thanksgiving. That's not being taught or preached in the world today. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And that's one of the strongest allies we have, prayer. That's how we talk to God. That's how we communicate. We need to use it. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, and I take it that these verses are a little more leaning towards the ministry, but they apply to us all. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is and that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. I don't know if you've noticed, but the things in this world that seem to be the prime focus on everybody's mind is having fun. It spoke there about exercise. You may chuckle at that, maybe, but watch your TV, watch your ads. What is the greatest thing that you can have today? It's a big, good body. And it's preached everywhere. Where do people spend their money and their time? I'm not an anti-sports figure, but on the other hand, everything that is done in the public today is built around pleasure. Let's have fun. That's more important than anything. The Lord isn't against your income or being rich if it's used for the right things. But the sale and the ad of resources for investments, things that are attached to the stock market, can lead you astray. You gotta be careful. There are pitfalls out there, and it can ruin you. And if you don't know where else to look up things, check the source. Look in the manuals. Check the things that God has given us, the scriptures to direct us. Sometimes they seem a little harsh because we don't see why certain things out there in the world hurt us. But you have to look out further, as my mother used to tell me, than the end of your nose. You got to examine and make good decisions and judgments. And they have to be in coordination and agree with those of God if you're going to survive. Remember, you came into this world without anything. And you're going to go out the same way. So the things that we deal with here should be to survive, sustain us while we're here, and make us comfortable. And any more than that is wasted time and effort. Temptations. There are about us everywhere. And they will be until the Lord comes again and fixes it. Pray for each other. Help each other. And call upon your God continually. He's there. He'll help you. You just have to go to him. Try it and see. God bless.